If you haven't heard about Anchor, it's the easiest way to make a podcast. Let me explain. It's free. These are creation tools that allow you to record and edit your podcast right from your phone or your computer. Anchor will distribute your podcast for you so you can be heard on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and many more. You can make money from your podcast with no minimum listenership. It's everything you need to make a podcast in one place. Thank you so much. My name is Chase. This is Chase Talks Hip Hop, and I hope you enjoy the show. Hey, yo. What? Okay, so this podcast has been in the making for a long time. I think mentally, I've really been lulling it over. And what better time is there to do a Legends podcast about DMX than now, in this moment? And I just want to break this up. I'm going to talk about things in a certain order. I'm going to talk about the beginning of his life, his early career. I'm going to break down the albums, the lyrics. I'm going to break down everything as much as I can. And I've even had the chance to actually, you know, I've been messaged by DMX. I was in, I was talking to him, and I sent him my song, the record I did with Los. And whether it was him, it could have been his management, whatever. I'm going to give the benefit of the doubt. If it was DMX or his management, I got to say, you know, DMX is a very cool person. And, you know, if that was him I was in contact with, I just want to say thank you, you know, because I remember just, this is kind of personal, but just sending him the link to my song and him saying it was dope. Not to go into like what else we talked about, I just messaged him and I said, hey man, you know, I just wanted to say thank you for what you've done. You've inspired me. And, you know, you just saying you like my song is good enough. You know, I'm not trying to push it or anything or ask for a feature, but even though that would be nice, right? You know, but the reason it meant so much to me for DMX to like my fucking song is because, let me put this in perspective. My grandma knows who DMX is. My dad knows who DMX is. Like, DMX is such a household name that for him to actually say he likes my shit gave me so much hope. Gives me, like, so much just mental support. And I just wanted to say thank you to DMX for being a genuine dude. And just the string of interviews the two interviews, I mean, I've come out with him and Talib Kweli on the People's Party is very good. I insist you go check that out after you listen to this. Also go check out his appearance on the Drink Champs podcast. Again, that was very fun. But DMX, Earl Simmons, listen, DMX is one of my favorite fucking rappers. And it's no fucking surprise. It's no secret. He's up there. He's definitely in my top five favorite rappers because DMX, to me, embodies so many beautiful things that an MC should embody. You know, the aggression, the emotional vulnerability, the lyrical ability, everything that goes into a DMX project. You feel it. You know, I mean, love or hate some of his albums, you got to admit that DMX always puts everything into his albums. Everything. There's no stone left unturned. And, you know, through his lifetime, like, how many movies has he done? He's done so many flipping movies. I mean, Jesus fucking Christ, like, his filmography, he has nothing but hitters. I mean, he has Belly that came out in 1998, my birth year. He has Romeo Must Die. There's Exit Wounds, Cradle to the Grave, Never Die Alone, Death Toll, The Bleed. Like, he has been in so many fucking movies. And I really do, I really like him in Belly. I love DMX in the movie Belly. Holy shit. If you haven't seen Belly, you need to go see it just to watch DMX. And that's no disrespect to Nas, because I actually think Nas did an amazing job contrasting DMX with his character, because, you know, there's a scene where Nas, you know, Nas is just more laid back and his character is much more methodical, and he's like, nah, kid, you know, I want to go back to Africa, kid, you know, this and that. And then DMX like, you know what, he's like life is about getting money, fucking bitches, and keeping it straight like that. come on, you know, and then, like, just the way DMX, like, just went from, you hear Nas say, yeah, man, we need to invest and be good, savings, but I was like, nah, fuck that shit, that's why I love DMX, like, that abruptness, that abrasiveness of, nah, I'm gonna speak my mind, and, I love DMX for that shit. In the movie Belly, Romeo Must Die, classic. Cradle to the Grave is my personally, that's my shit. I think that's my favorite DMX movie because that has him and Jet Li. Man, I'm geeking out. You know, them, the Rough Riders. I have to do this Legends series. You know, I know yesterday I paid tribute to Corrupt, and I'm aware that yesterday was International Women's Day. I put out the Queens and Hip Hop podcast last year, but I guess I'm going to have to do another installment or come up with something new. I'm going to do something to honor the women of hip hop again. But I'm not really always trying to keep it so targeted. I just want to be better about getting more interviews with female MCs and maybe doing more legend segments. I know I should do a legend segment for Jean Grey, Roxanne Shanté, Lauryn Hill, everything. I mean, I've done so many fucking podcasts. I got nothing but respect for everybody in this game doing it. And, you know, the personal life of DMX, you know, like, the personal life of DMX has been insane, from his drug addiction, the issue with his mother. If you don't know, DMX's mother, when he was young, dropped him off at a boarding school and just left him there. So imagine the trust issues, you know, and then you have his trouble with the law, everything regarding that. Okay, now, you people can easily look at this on the surface and just look at DMX and be like, oh, da, 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 and assume the most negative things. But honestly, I see a dude who literally got shunned by everyone. He got fucking shunned by damn near everyone. And he just wanted love, and then he got that love. He got that love, all right, but it's definitely, you get to see the tainting of fame. You get to see how dangerous the shit is, and DMX is very open about this stuff, and that's one thing I'd appreciate about X, is he doesn't hold back when talking about the negative side of this shit, of music. And that's one thing I always appreciated, was the element of darkness he brought. The element album Great Depression, the element I love of that album is how dark it is, you know, and the lengths that he's willing to go. And on It's Dark and Hell Is Hot, I love that album. I love It's Dark and Hell Is Hot. This is, to me, one of the greatest, most important albums ever. Rap albums, whatever. Because you have to think about the songs on the album. You have Get At Me, Dog, Stop Being Greedy, Rough Riders Anthem. You got How It's Going Down. But most importantly, you got Let Me Fly and Give Me I love Let Me Fly. The Damien record is so fucking real. The Damien record, to me, is one of the greatest storytelling hip-hop records of all time. And I put it up there with Dancing with the Devil by Immortal Technique. Because DMX is a true lyricist, and every step of the way you get this story, and it makes you feel fucked up. You feel for him. And I think maybe I've talked about this before, but man, this record... But in this record, DMX portrays him, Damien, and his own son. So he's playing multiple characters. Oh, yeah. But why is it every move I make turns out to be a bad one? Where's my guardian angel? Need one. Wish I had one. I'm right here, shorty. I'm gonna hold you down. You trying to fuck all these bitches? I'm gonna show you how. But who? Name's D like you, but my friends call me Damien. I'm gonna put you hip to something about this game we in. You and me could take it there, and you'll be the hottest person ever living. That's a given. You'll see. That's what I've been wanting all my life, thinking about my little man. So I call my wife. Well, your dada is about to make it happen. What you mean? I'm about to make it rapping. Today I met this cat. He said his name was Damien. He thinks that we're a lot alike and wants to be my friend. You mean like Chucky? Haha. Yeah, just like Chucky. Dada, looks like we're both lucky. The snake, the rat, the cat, the dog. How you gonna see him if you living in the fog? The snake, the rat, the cat, the dog. How you gonna see him if you living in the fog? So this again, like, I think this goes to DMX's creative strategy where he said himself that he likes to write poems out before he writes the full song. And you can fully hear that. You can fully, fully hear that shit. And my God, it's like the story that comes out of this. AOD, what up, D? You smooth dude. I seen you when nobody knew who pulled the trigger. Yeah, you know it's always over dough. You sure? Could have swore it was over a hoe. Nah, that ain't my style. You stay frontin'. But you're still my man. I ain't gonna say nothing. Got some weed? Go ahead, smoke it. Go ahead, drink it. Go ahead and fuck shorty. You know I can keep a secret. I'm about to have you driving probably a Benz, but we gotta stay friends. Blood out, blood in. Sounds good to me. Fuck it, what do I got to lose? Nothing I can think of any person would choose. Got me pushing the whips, taking trips cross seas. Pockets stay laced, homie, I floss G's. For that homie, I would bleed, give him my right hand. Now that I think about it, yo, that's my man. So the second verse just comes into confirmation now. DMX feels like he's getting somewhere, like signing this deal with the devil, you know, which is that metaphor for Lior? I don't know. You like how everything is going? You like what I gave you? You know it was going down, I'd be the one to save you. But yo, I need a, this word is crazy. But yo, I need a favor. These cats across town hate me. Plus, their behavior hasn't been too good lately. What? Anything for you, dog? Where them people at? 38 from Broadway, all right? Let me get the gat. Run up on them strapped. Bust off caps and four people. Laid low for about a month and killed two more people. Now I'm ready to chill, but you still want me to kill? Look at what I did for you, dog. Come on, keep it real. Aight, fuck it. I'ma do it. Who is it this time? Hey, yo, remember that kid Sean you used to be with in 89? Nah, that's my man. I thought I was your man, but yo, that's my homie. Hey, who's your biggest fan? Either do it or give me your right hand. That's what you said. I see now ain't nothing but trouble ahead. You know, and this is just one song in a trilogy of songs regarding Damien. And yeah, I don't know. There's something very special in the production from Dame Grease. The producers who helped put together this album, they deserve as much credit as DMX. And yeah, much love to Irv Gotti and the Rough Riders movement, because people don't get, like, he dropped May 12th, 1998, like a month after my fucking birthday, he drops It's Dark and Hell Is Hot, and then he got Flesh of My Flesh, Blood of My Blood, he dropped in December. He dropped two albums in 1 year, two platinum selling albums in 1 year. That's some shit that nobody fucking does, all right? And again, like, who does he have? He has The Lox, he has a track with Marilyn Manson, you know what I mean? He has Jay-Z on the album. Like, he went hard on this fucking album. Like, you can't say, you know, DMX doesn't deliver. And then you have his fucking performance at Woodstock, which is legendary. Next level legendary. Legendary. I said it. You know, and people gotta understand, like, you to talk shit, like, a lot of people can't hold a candle to what the fuck he did. You know what I mean? People can't hold a candle to what he did. What he did, on stage, it's something different. It was something super fucking special. And maybe around like the peak of his success with And Then There Was X in 1999, and this has What Was My Name, You Want It, I Got It, and then you got Party Up, you have What These Bitches Want. And this is interesting because the singles came out after the album was released, but everything, again, you got Party Up, that's an obvious hitter, that's an obvious record, like, where you can't step away from that record. DMX is one of the greatest. And DMX even has a record with Onyx I really like. Him and fucking Sticky Fingers go off on that shit. But it's some wild, wild stuff, because all throughout these years, DMX stayed consistent. He was always at least, like, fucking pushing platinum. You know what I mean? And for instance, yeah, even the Great Depression is certified platinum. Wow. And to go even further, like, we could even go into, like, DMX's archives, like him as a battle rapper, him battling Jay-Z, you know, that shit is historical. If you don't know about the time he battled Jay-Z, all right, that shit is wild. The stories I heard and about it being so close, and then the fact that they went on tour together for the Hard Knock Life tour, all of this shit. You know what I mean? All of this shit. And then Hip Hop DX even has an article written about it where they recount it. So I'm going to recount the DMX Jay-Z battle a little bit. It's crazy because yesterday I did a Legends segment about Corrupt, and I talked about how him and Snoop had to battle back in the day. It's crazy. So fucking crazy. Need more battling in hip-hop. I need to talk more about battle rap. I feel like no one thinks I'm a battle rap fan. By the way, y'all listening, I love battle rap. I just haven't had the chance to watch it as much lately and keep up on the new people because I'm busy. But god damn it, I've done a few battle rap podcasts. I'm gonna do more reviews on my favorite rap battles and break down round for round. Like, I want to do one about Disaster versus DNA. I need to do one about Shoddy Aura and Arsenal, and I need to do one about Charlie Clips and Daylight. All right, Battle Royale, Jay-Z and DMX's 1990s Bronx Battle Revisited. At some point in the mid-early 90s, at a small smoke-filled pool hall in the Bronx, a Brooklyn-based MC named Jay-Z battled an up-and-comer from Yonkers known as DMX. X, who cabbed into town from Baltimore just for the event, stated in his 2003 autobiography that he had no original intentions of getting involved that night. He was there as a witness who'd only enter the fray if absolutely necessary, and soon enough it was. The people knew that they were the top dogs. Those were the top dogs of our crews, he wrote, and they wanted us to go at it after a few more rounds. I just couldn't stand to the side anymore. It was time to hold down the fam. To this day, details of the battle between Jay, who was an affiliate repping Original Flavor at the time, and DMX, who stood alongside an uptown-based group called the Harlem Knights, remain murky. So, Hip Hop DX caught up with three people who were in attendance. Original Flavor member Ski, also known as Ski Beats, Jay-Z, and Original Flavor Associate Jay-Z / Original Flavor Associate Sauce Money, and Rough Riders co-founder Wadeen, to learn more about what went down that night. Each of the three admitted that many of the specifics had faded away from memory, but that they'd recall what they could. Wadeen: we did the battle on neutral grounds instead of doing it in Brooklyn or Yonkers. We did it in the Bronx. Ski Beats: when I rolled up, I was with Dame Dash, Tone Hooker, Jay-Z, and I think some of Dame's people from Harlem. His crew called the Best Out. That was the name of his crew. From Harlem, I think Dame set the battle up. It was like a Brooklyn, Uptown, Harlem kind of thing. So we all met at the pool hall in the Bronx. Wadeen: we heard some things about Jay-Z from Brooklyn and from Dame, and we bump heads with their people every now and then. The word was out there that we had these guys that was doing similar things, traveling to different areas and battling. So we knew in a matter of time we was going to be in a place where somebody was going to make the call and say, yeah, we got this guy standing here and they all want to be here. And that happened. So we knew what was up. We didn't really look for anybody. We just dealt with the situation as it was there. We knew DMX was one of the best, one of the greatest, so we wasn't worried about no artists coming after him. Interesting shit. Sauce Money: everybody who battled, I think it was myself, there might have been a girl. We had a girl, her name was Roughness, and T-Strong, and Jay. We had to get on top of the pool table, so whoever's battling, they're standing on the pool table going at it. Damn. There was no room in the building to stand at, so the only way to do it was to stand on the pool tables. Yeah, so they're just corroborating their whole story. Sauce Money: the pool table was like a boxing ring. We were standing on opposite sides of the pool table going back and forth while we were rapping. People were pulling out guns, all kinds of crazy shit. Ski Beats: people came in their strap. People from the Bronx had guns and people from Harlem had guns. Luckily, it didn't go down like that, but the atmosphere was hip-hop and at the same time, it was gangster. I battled some people real quick. I don't remember his name, though. Oh, that was Sauce Money. Ski Beats: I battled, man. They had me battling some kids, some little boy. I wasn't a gangster rapper. I was just a rapper. This little kid was just talking about his trials and tribulations from the streets. So it was a weird battle. I can't remember if I won or lost, but it was just a weird battle. I'm rhyming about hip-hop stuff like microphones and mic devices and shit like that. And this kid is talking about cracking guns. I'm like, yo, you're like 10. What are you talking about? They had us battling kids. That's crazy. Young kids from the hood that were hungry. I'm pretty sure one of those kids that was battling is probably someone in the game now. I want to figure out who the fuck that kid is, too. Who is that kid? You know, shit, who the fuck is that kid? Wadeen: The opening battle set the tone for the big dons to come in and do the job. It was a good look. A couple of guns were flashed and things got a little extra with that, but it went well. It was a very intense environment, and Jay-Z and X went for hours going in. DMX came all the way from Maryland for that battle. Ski Beats, it was dope. DMX at the time, I had never really heard of DMX. I didn't know who this kid was, but to hear him rhyme live, I was like, this dude is really ill. He was really good, but the battle was good. Jay did his thing. DMX did his thing. You could tell people from DMX side were really feeling Jay, and you could tell people from Jay side were really feeling X. It was a mutual, okay, both these guys are dope. Jay-Z, Wadeen. Jay-Z spoke a little bit more. X flowed more. Jay-Z more talked in his rhymes. Both came out on top at the end. They learned from each other a lot of different styles. When they left, it was a mutual respect. The battle lasted for about 4 or 5 hours. 4 or 5 hours of battle rapping. Holy shit. Like, how long is it? Like, God, fuck, I got stuff to do. I got to wrap this shit up. You know what I mean? God damn. That's a long rap battle. You know what? I need to do a rap battle with someone. Maybe Yellow Wolf, if he's willing. I'll smack his head off in a rap battle. Yeah, Yellow Wolf, if you're listening, let's battle rap, bro. Let's do this shit. Strictly Rhymes, let's get it. I don't care how long it goes. Unlimited rounds. I got this. I think it went 3 rounds. Yeah, they did 3. Sorry. Now you're talking shit. Ski Beats. It was both of their styles at their purest forms. DMX was definitely on that barking, that whole thing. That was his whole persona. His voice was just raw. Jay was the big Willy, hustler, poster, child king. Everything he was saying was just vivid. Street shit. That was incredibly well thought out and well put together. You know Jay-Z is with, you know how Jay-Z is with his word choices. You know he's street, but at the same time, you could feel that he's super intelligent, which just made it crazy. Both their styles was just coming crazy in that battle. And the contrast must have been wild. Damn. Like, to have, like, because, like, the contrast of a Jay and a DMX is different. If you don't believe me, go listen to Money Cash Hoes. One of their few records they have together. That shit's wild. Dun, dun, dun. It was so close that we kept it mutual. They would have gone on an extra 5 hours if we had let it be. Sauce Money. It was more about what style of fighter you liked was what would decide the outcome. We were kind of in X's backyard. They said it was a tie, but that was bullshit. Jay ate that fool. You can tell when somebody won a battle, when you're in somebody's backyard and they're calling it a draw. When you're in someone's backyard, even when that person loses, they're saying he won. Jay got so busy on that shit, they tried to say it was a draw, but it wasn't a fucking draw. So that's from Sauce Money. Which he might be biased because he's on Jay's side. Ski Beats. One side is going to say DMX won. Then the other is going to say Jay-Z won. In my opinion, to me, Jay-Z just had a little more finesse because of his style. But DMX was incredibly dope. He could not take that away from DMX. DMX was a fucking star. And then you got Wadeen. I got to admit, I like Ski Beats for being a little bit more neutral. Wadeen. Dame had a little footage, but at that time we didn't have anything copywritten, all that stuff, so we didn't want our stuff out there like that. Sauce, I want to get where? Okay, I want the footage. Dame Dash, if you're listening, brother, please release that footage. Please, man, that's like such hip hop history, man. Sauce Money. It was pandemonium. It was crazy, just crazy. It was almost like going to Vegas and watching the Mayweather Pacquiao fight. Wadeen, the best battle in the world took place between X and Jay-Z in the birthplace of hip-hop, the Bronx. Wow. Yeah, so... Jesus. Wow. Yeah, so that's pretty crazy to think. Like, they both battled. And I would love to see that battle. I even watched on the Rough Rider Chronicles and stuff, the stuff regarding that. And it's a lot to pick apart because anything can go any way, which way in a battle. But damn, just fucking damn. Like, I would love to be a fly on a wall for that rap battle. I would have loved to see that shit. You know what I mean? Because if we really want to think about a versus challenge, Jay-Z and DMX might make the most fucking sense. You know, that shit might make the most sense. But, yeah, like, DMX's personal life, he's been through some shit. And I think, too, like, these past few years, like, I mean, these past few years, I feel like we've seen him get back on his feet a little bit more. I mean, shit, we've seen him from being on Dr. Phil, Oprah, all that. It's a nice change of pace, like, to see him releasing music. When I heard he dropped that record with the Locks, I was so fucking happy. I went, checked out the video. I was just happy to see DMX in his element doing his thing and being happy. And what more can you ask for as a fan? But it's crazy, you know what I mean? And this is, like, the thing is, I'm about to read a section of his personal life, this bio about his personal life. And this is just something so you guys know what he comes from. This is the dude who battled Jay-Z. Y'all got to know where X comes from and Yonkers and his spirit and shit. And I had to do this because, listen, I already did my legend segment about Jay-Z. I got nothing but love for Jay-Z. Jay-Z is he's in my top 10. He's one of my favorite rappers. You can't deny what Jay does. Like, all in all, his body of work is too fucking strong. You can't deny that. And that battle, shit, it wouldn't surprise me if Jay won. But it's like, stylistically, it is different. It's like you got Tyson and Ali. It's a little bit of a different stylistic matchup. You know, when you have X and Jay-Z, it's so different. And the Ski Beats analogy about having a certain style you like for a fighter, and even me being an MMA fan, I can see the parallels with these analogies. I see where it's going. All right, DMX has spoken openly about his addiction to crack cocaine, which began when he was 14 years old after he smoked a marijuana cigarette laced with the drug, who he also claims to have bipolar disorder. And you can even listen to the interview segment from Talib Kweli's podcast, The People's Party, where he specifically opens up about how that laced cigarette was given by a dude who he felt like was a mentor in the rap game. So he was deceived from the jump. DMX is a Christian and has stated he reads the Bible every day. While in prison, DMX stated that he had purpose for being there. I came here to meet somebody. Don't know who it was, but I'll know when I see him. And I came here to give him a message, and the message is Jesus loves them. DMX is currently a transitional deacon in the Christian church and aspires to become ordained as a pastor, stating he received his call in 2012. I think he's already ordained from what I checked. He is the father of 15 children. Ah, shit. Okay, here's nitty gritty. He was married to Tashira Simmons in 1999, and they were married for 11 years. In July 2010, after his first of three incarcerations that year, Tashira announced their separation. DMX maintains that the two remain friends. His 15th child, Exodus Simmons, was born to his girlfriend, Desiree Lindstrom, on August 16, 2016. DMX had multiple extramarital affairs during his marriage to Simmons, some of which produced children. DNA testing confirmed that he is the father of at least two children. The first was born to Maryland resident Monique Wayne in 2004, the second to a different woman in late 2008. DMX and Wayne fought over her claim that he was the father of her son for years, during which she sued him repeatedly for defamation of character and for child support. After DNA testing proved DMX fathered Wayne's son in 2007, he was ordered to pay her $1.5 million. Holy shit. They really wanted to make him pay that much? Jesus fucking Christ. On July 30th, 2013, DMX filed for Chapter 11 bankruptcy, citing his child support obligations as his priority. And I fucking get it. I see why. The filing was challenged by the Department of Justice's Bankruptcy Watchdog Trustee Program and was later dismissed by the U.S. Bankruptcy Court in Manhattan on November 11th, 2013. On February 10th, 2016, DMX was found unresponsive in a Ramada Inn parking lot in Yonkers. He was resuscitated by first responders and given Narcan before being rushed to the hospital. I remember this. A witness states he ingested some type of substance before collapsing, but police found no illegal substances on the property. DMX stated it was from an asthma attack. Yeah, I think DMX is right. If y'all don't know, DMX has, like, really fucking severe fucking asthma. And it's no joke, you know, asthma like that. My mom has bad asthma, and anything can really set it off or trigger. It can even be stress related. I'm not going to go into all the legal stuff, you know, regarding DMX and legality and him, you know, fucking DMX and the legality of what the fuck he's gone through is kind of unimportant to me. It really is, you know. I mean, the shit where he pulls someone over is pretty fucking funny. The fact he pulled over a dude The fact he pulled a dude over, pretended to be a cop is pretty funny. I'm not gonna fucking front. That shit's pretty funny. Like, he literally did it, and I remember the interview where he was like, the guy didn't respect my lights. I didn't know what was going on. He didn't respect my lights. I had to pull him over. And that shit was funny to me. So fucking funny, just the way he recounts it. And I don't know, like, to me, DMX is like the Mike Tyson of the rap game. He's always going to be loved and respected, and especially in my eyes, like, I'm such a fan. And it is him even, like, being able to reach out meant so much to me, because I'm a nobody. For DMX, the caliber, favorite rapper, who he is, to do that, I mean, shit. And in 2012, his latest release was Undisputed. But on the Drink Chance podcast, he was saying he is working with Bono. He has a track with Pop Smoke. He has his new album coming out. He's working with Usher, Lil Wayne. And he sounds very happy and optimistic about it. And I'm gonna try to roll on that train too. And I'm happy and optimistic for him, because I want to see DMX be successful. I want to see him win and do good. And just through his career, like, through his ups and downs, like, people cannot deny what he's been able to do, and the greatness behind it. You know, I'm very happy for him. Like, I'm happy that he's out. He's doing shit. And, you know, oh, he also confirmed Griselda is on the album. So how could you not, how could y'all not get this? You know what I mean? How could y'all not get this? And I'm so excited for this shit. I'm so excited for DMX to come back and do his thing and be at full potential, be healthy. And I wish him the best. You know, the man is a legend. And, you know, even the feud with DMX and Jay-Z, I mean, you could look at, I get DMX's angle regarding it. And I'm going to read a little article that where Irv Gotti speaks on this, on why DMX doesn't like Jay-Z. Before DMX and Jay-Z became international rap titans, they competed in the classic hip-hop war. Their Bronx battle in the early 90s is the stuff of legends, and it's also what sparked their ongoing beef, according to Irv Gotti, the Murder, Inc. label head who helped bring them together. They always had friction because they battled, and X, like, hated him, Gotti told Complex. Jay didn't really give a fuck, but they was always on some competitive shit. That's just the truth. Maybe that explains Jigga's early thoughts on X, according to Irv. Hov didn't believe Dark Man would succeed because he made depressing music. And then there was X with platinum plaques. Apparently this helped change things. Jay especially, he looked and seen what I did with X, Scotty explained. He was like, whoa, holy shit, that shit worked. Even with all that feuding, Hov and X have collaborated on a bunch of songs, including It's Murder and Blackout. They even almost formed a group with Ja Rule. Irv spoke with MTV News about Jay and X's often strained relationship back in 2011. At the time, Gotti told a story about Hov being angry because DMX was going to close out Time to Build, a song they were both on. Irv went on to say that Jigga's whole verse was shitting on X. Damn. Okay, like, I didn't know, like, alright, like, so it kind of gets petty almost at this point between them. But, all in all, like, DMX's career is so fucking monumental, and I'm excited to hear what he does next, and, him being ordained and everything, and I do want people to, I mean, I think a lot of people, I hope, just, like, don't look at him for the reality TV shit he's been on in the past 6 years, and more so for what he's doing now, because I think, like, all that stuff, when it was happening, it was very unfortunate, the timing. But, I mean, my God, my fucking God, like, this is a dude who started out beatboxing, you know, he climbed his way, you know, to the top and everything, and there's so much wisdom to this fucking guy, there's so much to him, and, like, the fact that he gave me the respect, listened to my song, and even if it was whatever, I just appreciate the dude. I just appreciate the dude for being genuine and just keeping it real. And that's something that's why, like, he's been able to work with the Locks. He's been able to, people have just always showed a DMX love. You try to meet one person who doesn't fuck with DMX, I dare you. Most people fuck with DMX for good reason. All right. He's a great MC, an incredible artist, and he is a true legend in my eyes. And he should be a true legend in yours, in your eyes as well. And that's where I stand. I think too, if you're going to, like, go listen to his albums, There's no shame in starting from the beginning with It's Dark and Hell is Hot and working from there. Because It's Dark and Hell is Hot is very much like you need to listen to that album. Then you have Flesh of My Flesh, Blood of My Blood, which is, again, that's my shit. Grand Champ, then there was X, The Great Depression, Year of the Dog. Just get into it, all right? There's plenty of music for you to go get some. DMX, like I said, I got nothing but respect for him. He's a high-level MC, top five. I think he's incredible. Everything is stuff of legend. His battle with Jay-Z's performance at Woodstock, his overall career, the numbers he's been able to sell, everything, his perseverance, the way he made it is incredible. So DMX, I salute you, brother. God bless to you, and I wish you nothing but continued success on this road. And I just want everything to be good. I hope the whole team is healthy. I hope everybody is ready for a great album to drop. I'm excited for DMX. I'm a Rough Rider fan. I'm a fucking Rough Rider fan, like I'm a Wu-Tang Clan fan, baby. So you know how it is. Anyway, you're listening to Chase Talks Hip Hop. Thank you guys so much for listening. I appreciate it all. This has been titled Legends DMX, and I look forward to dropping more content. I got music videos coming, people. I got more podcasts coming. I got video podcasts. I'm going to be dropping way more fucking content, and I've been at it, and I've been keeping true to my promise, keeping true to my word, so there isn't much else I can do. Let's see. Yeah, I'm working with A-Plus Films. They've worked with the man Kendrick Lamar. They've worked with TD. E, Flapper, Zombies, YBN Cordae, anyone who's anyone. They're essentially, and like so much, they're kind of like Lyrical Lemonade in a sense. They're a very cool production company. Working with them, getting everything set up. Shout out to Alexander Kobian for being patient. You know, it's taken me some time. I've had some setbacks, some personal things, injuries, life, family issues, health issues. But the thing is, it's all about how we bounce back from our adversity and how we pull through. You know, we got to be more like DMX. We got to be able to almost, you know, we have to be able to put up with some shit from time to time, because that's just how it goes. But I just want to say thank you to all the listeners. You know, I'm trying to get my listener base back up since I've switched up and I had to create a new, distribution platform, etc. But I'm just so fucking excited. I'm so blessed, and I'm happy I can just get to do the content I like, talking about the people I want to talk about, you know, talk about the artists, you know, interview people. And best believe I'm going to be having interviews, very amazing interviews coming up within the month, renting out space, etc. And expect giveaways to be happening soon. But just, again, thank you guys for listening. I don't want to go off too much on a tangent. Thank you for listening, and keep on rocking in the free world, people. I love you. All right, everyone, that's the show. Thank you so much for listening. This next track I'm about to play you is by my friend Majin M. He is currently in a bit of a tough situation right now. So just make sure to go listen to his music, give some support. I'll drop a link to his project. It's on SoundCloud. This track is titled Mind Your Business. Majin's my homie. And like I said, he recorded this track at my place. I helped him mix it. He's just such a fucking dope artist, such a dope fucking person. And as soon as the situation gets figured out, we're going to be doing an album together. So go and check this out. This track is titled Mind Your Business. Much love to you, Malik. Much love, brother. And if you're listening to this, G, I hope you get this and enjoy this shit, because this record is fucking fire. Enjoy.
Mind your business, ho, get at your feelings, at your feelings. All my dogs relentless, chasing chickens, focus on them binges, every penny. Nigga, mind your business, mind your business, ho, get at your feelings, at your feelings. All my dogs relentless, chasing chickens, focus on them binges, every every penny. Mommy ho all in the feelings, geeking out about another bitch. Told her to chill cause she tripping. Girl, you know that you my only chick. She say that I'm lying, she won't listen. She wanna go through all my messages. On top of that, I got these niggas all in my business. Try to act cool, but they envy. I know this world never friendly, but I'm protected. The universe act like a blessing. Blasting these niggas for stepping. I don't lift a finger, no flexing. You can learn your lesson. Tell me why you had to test me, cause I'm curious. I don't know why people sweat me. Stick to myself and my circle, so I know that I don't be the one who doing the pressing. Only focus on the binges, nigga, to provide for my family. Don't think they understand me. Man, it is what it had to be. Fake niggas started glassing me, trying to get a little clout so they can post with they Insta feed. But you can never take my energy.
Yeah,
yeah, trying to get my weight up. I can't hear you cause the bass is going way up. Third eye chakra hella screaming from my face. So if you got a problem, say it to my face. Nigga, mind your business. Mind your business. Ho, get at your feelings.
At your feelings.
At your feelings. All my dogs relentless.
Relentless.
Chasing chickens. Focus on them binges. Every penny. Nigga, mind your business. Mind your business. Ho, get at your feelings. At your feelings. All my dogs relentless.
Relentless.
Chasing chickens. Focus on them binges. Every penny.